Last night, God was wanting to revive our faith. And we discovered that what defines us is not what we think about ourselves, but what God says about us. That what defines us is not what we feel about ourselves, but what God says about us. That means what he says about you as one of his children. That what defines us is not our circumstances, but what Jesus says about us, what he has made us. As his children, through the power of his blood, he has made us totally acceptable in his sight, and we came against those things that seek to undermine our faith, trusting in our own thinking, our own reason, believing our feelings rather than what God says, putting our faith in circumstances instead of the one who can transform the circumstances, listening to the lies and deception of the enemy instead of keeping our focus on the truth of God's word and the Spirit of truth who guides us into all the truth. And we saw right at the end last night that God bids us to come to him in his holiness, in heavenly places, with sincere hearts and in full assurance of faith. So we had to begin with that faith message last night so that we can actually come to him with full assurance of faith. Now, what I believe God wants us to do for a few minutes before we pray tonight is to focus on him and what he desires. No doubt you have come here tonight with a desire to meet with God. But what is his desire for tonight? What does he want for you tonight? What is in his heart? Because after all, we're not here to fulfill our desires, but to see his desires for us fulfilled. Jesus has a heart for his people. A heart that longs for him, for them. Listen to this. This is Jesus speaking. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you. How often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. That's the heart of God. I want to gather you to myself as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, protecting them, loving them, giving them that sense of security, of belonging. He said to the people of Jerusalem, but you weren't willing for that. I wonder how many of God's children today are willing for the Lord to gather them so close that they're like those chicks beneath his wings. It says something of the tender heartedness of God. What goes on in heaven? Well, we read the opening chapters of the book of Revelation, and it describes really what we've been doing in the first part of the meeting, the worship that goes on around the throne of God, the glory, honor, and praise. But you see, what God has done in heaven is what he desired to do in Jerusalem and what he desires to do with his children on earth. All the host of heaven he has gathered to himself around the throne. Their response to being gathered to him is to praise him, to worship him, day and night without ceasing. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. They don't need hymn books, song books, words on a screen. It's a spontaneous response to being gathered to him. When Christians die, we often say they've gone to be with the Lord. That's a great pity, isn't it? Because we're supposed to be with the Lord before we die. That what God wants is to gather us to himself long before we die. He wants to gather us to himself tonight. Our worship, you see, is not to be something we do or something that we're late for on a Sunday morning. Our worship is to be a response to the fact that the Lord gathers us to himself as his children. And a reluctance to worship, or if you like, demoting it in importance in our lives, is perhaps an evidence that we don't really understand the heart of God in wanting to gather each one of us to himself, just like that hen gathers the children, or gathers the chicks beneath her wings. So God wants to gather his children around himself. We're blessed here at Kingdom Faith by having a steady stream of new babies. And there are a number of people in recent months who have had their first child. And I see around Rafi and here on Sundays, the fathers carrying their children close to them. It's a fatherly instinct, isn't it? That if you love the child, it's not just the mother that bonds with the child, but the father likes to gather the child, hold the child close. There's that sense of belonging and of possession. This is my child. This is the gift that God has given to me and to my wife. Well, that's just a very small reflection of the heart of God, of the love of God, of the tender-heartedness of God, wanting to gather us, wanting to, if you like, take us into his everlasting arms, to lift us up in those everlasting arms, to to give us the assurance that we do belong to him. We are his possession. He does love us and care for us so much. So these times of meeting with God need to be a meeting with our Father. We were discovering last night and Rafi this morning how important it is to pray to God as our Father, because that's what Jesus tells us to do. He says, when you pray, say, Father. Because when we're praying, we're one of his children drawing close to him. We're not shouting at him from a distance. We're not praying into some void and hoping that God is around somewhere listening to us. But we are to be those who draw near to him, to take those moments at the beginning of our prayer time to know our unity with him, that our prayer time is a response to his love, to his desire to meet every need in our lives. God was saying to me the other day, he said, you know, I don't want to meet some of your needs. My desire is to meet every need. My desire is not to lift some of your burdens, because my word says, cast all your burdens on the Lord. It's a wholehearted love. It's not a partial love. It's not a temporary thing. It's not something that vacillates, that the love is there for us at some times, but not at other times. His love is always the same. It's always constant. It's always consistent. And what Jesus has done through his sacrifice on the cross is opened up the way for us so that we can come and have that fellowship and communion with him. And those well-known words that you will find later on when you get to chapter 11 of Matthew, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me, come to me, come to me. You see, what we do when we worship, what we do when we meet with God is simply respond to his initiative. He says, I want to gather you to myself. I want you to come to me. And he says, when you come to me, take my yoke upon you. Don't just come for a brief visit, but understand that you can be yoked together with me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Yes, God is almighty, God is holy, God is righteous, and yet at the same time as being powerful, the Lord with supreme authority, he has a humble, gentle, tender heart. That's why he doesn't judge you. That's why there's no condemnation for you. His attitude towards you as his child is always that tender heartedness. Now you see this even in the parable of the prodigal son, where you know the son asked for his share of the inheritance and his father gave it to him. Ask and you shall receive. Sadly, he went away, as we all know the story, and he wasted his inheritance, ended up feeding pigs, wishing that he could eat what they were eating. But then the scripture says he came to his senses, and he prepared his little speech. I have sinned before heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. because he realized that the servants in his father's house were doing much better than he was, even though he was a son. And so as he returns, the father sees him coming. And what Jesus says in the parable is that the father was tender-hearted. That's what the Greek word literally means. He was tender-hearted towards his son, and he ran to meet him. Wouldn't even let him finish his speech, but embraced him and kissed him and blessed him, called for the best robe to be put on him and a ring for his finger and shoes for his feet, to kill the fatted calf so that they could have a celebration to return, to celebrate his return. But all that, you see, the scripture says, came out of his tender-heartedness. Now, I think if most of us had been in the position of the father, we would have wanted to impress upon that wayward son a few home truths. You've just wasted all my inheritance. You've wasted all that I've given you. Now you just turn up here and boom, boom, boom. If God was like an elder in most churches, he would say, right, you need to have a time of discipline, and we must make sure that you have truly repented and before you can be accepted back in fellowship. But that wasn't the heart of God. He was tender-hearted, full of compassion, full of mercy. And that's why he says we're to be tender-hearted, compassionate, full of mercy towards one another, not judge, not condemn, not criticize, not hold on to offense. But we're to have hearts after the heart of God, tender-hearted. And it's that tender heart of love that draws us ever closer to himself. A loving father wants his children close to him. And that's really the essence of what he's saying to you personally tonight. What he's saying to us all corporately here at Kingdom Faith. He's saying, I want you close to me, not just for your sake, but for my own sake, because I love you. I don't want to hold you at arm's length. I don't want to speak to you from a distance. I want to gather you to myself. I want you to go to be with the Lord every day, long before you die physically. This is God's heart towards you. Now, because that's the truth, it cannot be difficult for us to meet with him. But it becomes difficult if we place the focus on ourselves rather than on him and his love. You see, when the prodigal son returned, his focus was on himself. I have sinned. I have done this. I have done that. And the father didn't even let him finish his speech, because what he wanted to impress upon the son was his love, his acceptance, his compassion, his mercy, his grace. Instead of judging him, condemning him, disciplining him, he lavished gifts upon him. Put the best robe on him. The very best. The elder brother couldn't take it, could he? He was a typical church person. He said, well, I'm not going to go into the feast. He's wasted all his inheritance. I never receive what he's received. Father doesn't give to me what he gave to him. And he's gone and wasted it. I don't even get a goat to have a feast with my friends. You see, he didn't realize that if the younger son had gone and asked for his inheritance and the father had given it to him, if he as the elder son had come and asked for his inheritance, the father would have given it to him. But he didn't even have the faith to ask for a goat. Why? Because his focus was on himself and what he was doing. I have toiled for you, I have worked for you, I have been faithful to you. His focus was on his works, what he did, and not on the tender-heartedness, the compassion, the generosity of his father. You can't earn the love of God, and you don't have to, because his love for you is already a reality. We can only love, John says, and he understood the love of Jesus more than anyone. We can only love because he first loved us. So, what do we do if we're going to meet with God? If we're going to really seek God, I mean, what do we do? Well, as we saw last night, he has already given himself to us in love in so many ways. He's given us salvation, he's given us eternal life, he's given us the gift of his Spirit, he's given us the gift of his kingdom, he's given us every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, and so on and so on. He has already lavished his grace upon us. And Paul talked of himself as the chief of sinners because he persecuted the church. Yet, like that prodigal, God just lavished his grace upon him, lavished his gifts upon him, made him the great apostle to the Gentiles. That's the heart of God. He didn't judge Saul of Tarsus, didn't condemn him. He met with him. He took the initiative of that bright, shining light that was to transform the life of Saul and make him Paul the Apostle. This is the love of God. This is the mercy of God. This is the tender-heartedness of God. No desire to judge. Or there will come the time of judgment when all of us will have to give account of our stewardship. But Jesus said, I haven't come to judge. I've come to save. I've come to reveal the love of God that will save you from the judgment that you deserve. Because God's love is so much greater than any desire to judge. He has saved us from the judgment that we deserve. He's saved us from the punishment we deserve by taking our punishment upon himself. That's love. Jesus said, there is no greater love than this, than that a man lays down his life for his friends. And in his love for you, that's what he did for you. He laid down his life for you. He went through all that he went through out of his love for you. Even if you were the only sinner on earth, he would have come and died just for you. Because that's the nature of his love. And yes, he wants to see that same love reproduced in us. That he pours his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. But for us really to be able to fulfill God's purpose to love one another as he has loved us, We've got to understand how he loves us. And we actually have to experience that love, not just believe in it, but to experience it. And you see, that's what God wants in evenings like this. He wants us not just to cold-heartedly believe that he loves us, but he wants to share that love, to draw us close like those chicks under the wings of the hen, like the Lord that he says, "Come to me, all you, even those of you who feel you're struggling, even those who are getting weary with the events of life, or even weary with the responsibilities of being a child of God." He says, "Come to me. I will give you rest. For my heart is humble and gentle." So when we want to meet with God, what do we do? Do we just sit down or stand up or kneel down or get on our faces and wait for God to turn up? If you do, you'll probably wait for a very long time and fall asleep in the process. Because you see, a principle of his kingdom is the measure you give is the measure you get back. And this agape love of God, this tender-heartedness of God, is expressed in giving. God loved the world so that he gave his son. He gave his very best. He gave to that prodigal son the finest gifts that he could give. God's love is expressed in giving. So if we are responding to his love and what he has, all the things that he has done for us and all that he has given us in order that we might be his children, then we're coming to give to him. So you will receive from God tonight or any other time when you pray and worship and want to meet with him, you will receive in as much as you give to him. Cardinal principle of the kingdom is the measure you give is the measure you get back. You reap what you sow. So those of you that have been to these kind of evenings before, you've heard me say that when you meet with God, you speak and you keep speaking and you don't lapse into silence. Silence, beloved, accomplishes absolutely nothing on an occasion like this. Just saying nothing and just waiting for something to happen achieves absolutely nothing. You keep giving of yourself to him in love. You keep pouring out your heart in love, in worship, in praise, in thanksgiving, in surrender. You're surrendering to him in love. And the more you do that, you see, the more God will then fulfill his word and give to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You're not here first and foremost, to receive something from God tonight. Whenever you come here to worship, you come to give to him. That's why the worship, that's why the service on a Sunday begins with the most important part. The most important part isn't the message. It's not even the time of ministry after the message. The most important time is the worship. Because the whole essence of what we gather together for is to worship him, is to love him, is to express to him what he is worthy of. That's worship is actually from the old English word worthship, to give to God what he is worth. To have a sort of casual attitude to worship just shows that we don't really understand the love of God or what it means to actually meet with him and worship him. That we come to give. That's why we need to prepare our hearts even before we come on a Sunday. as far as that is possible, if you have young children, I appreciate the difficulties there, but we're come to give, to give, to give, to give. And the more you give, the more you receive. And the scriptures are very clear about that. Yeah, it's true about finances. Paul, when he speaks about this principle in 2 Corinthians, is talking about money, but it's a spiritual principle that relates to every part of our lives, that the measure you give is the measure you get back. You see, we have all this wonderful inheritance because God has made us co-heirs with Christ. And he says, I want to gather you to myself so that you can appropriate all these good things that I've given you. And for you to be able to do that, you just have to give and surrender and yield yourselves to me. And the more you do that, the more you find that I will lavish my gifts upon you. I will lavish my grace upon you. You will indeed meet with me. You will receive from me. But the measure that you give of yourself to him will determine the measure that you receive from him. Listen to Paul writing to the Colossians. Since you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died. You see, we're not waiting for death to go to be with the Lord. We have died already, so we can go to be with the Lord every time we worship, whenever we pray. You have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Hidden with Christ in God the Father. That's an even closer bond and relationship than the chicks under the wing of the hen. Hidden with Christ in God. And you see, he says, I want you to know that. Not just with your head, but in your experience. I want you to draw near to me with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, in my love for you, in my acceptance of you. So then Paul continues to say, put off all the things of the flesh, all those sinful things in which you used to walk. They're no longer part of your new life. They're no longer part of your new identity as one who is hidden with Christ in God. And then he says, instead of all those negative things that cause so much harm in your life, as God's chosen people, listen, this is Colossians 3, verse 12, listen. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. You see, you are dearly loved. God doesn't love you because it's his job as God. You are his dearly loved child. So, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, that tender-hearted mercy that he has for you. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for I am humble and gentle of heart. So clothe yourself with that same tender-hearted compassion. Clothe yourself with that same humility. Clothe yourself with that same gentleness. And then Paul says that will have a bearing on how you relate to others. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And then we have the verse that we used last night. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. But all that comes out of knowing the tender-hearted, gentle love of God for you. You like to be with those you love. That's why God the Father loves you to be with him. Because he loves you so dearly and wants to gather you to himself. In his wisdom, he knows that all that he wants to do in your life, all that he wants to do through your life, all the ways in which his plan and purpose for your life will be fulfilled, all the fruit that he intends you to produce in your life as one of his disciples, he knows that all that will flow automatically out of knowing him and meeting with him in that tender-hearted love and compassion. And yes, the people of faith that he showed us we are to be last night, but it has to be faith working through love, because we are constantly meeting with him in his love. Holy Communion was originally in the early church always celebrated, actually every day, because believers came together to eat together. And it was called the Love Feast. I love Holy Communion because what it signifies is how greatly Jesus wants to keep giving out of his love. This is my body, which was given for you. This is my blood that was shed for you. Do this to remember my great love for you. Receive these gifts as evidences of my love, of my desire to give and give and give. And historically, in communion services throughout the centuries, before in the service there was the Holy Communion, there was always the offertory. Now, that wasn't just having a monetary offering, but it was the offering of our lives to God. It was the response of giving to him before we ask him to give himself to us. Same principle, biblical principle. The measure you give is the measure you get back. What love. What love. It's good just to talk about it, isn't it? Good just to hear about it, let alone experience that love. So, in coming to meet with God, this is not your initiative. It's responding to his initiative. And what he's saying to each one of us tonight is, come to me. Draw near to me. With a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. Come. I want to gather you to myself. I want to reveal more of my love for you. I came to know the Lord as a child. From the moment that I came to know him, I can stand here before you. That must have taken place some 65 years or more ago. And I can honestly say to you, never, even for a moment of time, no matter what has happened to me, no matter what challenges I've had to go through, no matter what opposition I've had to face, and there's been plenty of that in my life and ministry, never once, even for a brief moment, have I ever, ever, ever doubted God's love for me. Not for a second, not even for a millisecond. It has never, ever occurred to me to doubt God's love for me. Because once you have encountered him in his love, you can never question his love. And it baffles me when I hear Christians say, I don't know whether God loves me. I think, well, you obviously don't know his love then. Or when people are going through a problem, they say, if God really loved me, why is he allowing this to happen to me? Dear beloved, so is with you in his love. No matter what you have to go through, no matter what you have to face, in all things he's working together for your good, because you love him and you have been called according to his purpose. He can never stop loving you. He can never switch his love off. He can never for a moment of time ever, ever have any other attitude towards you except one of love. Even when you're messing up, even when you've gone away from God's best purposes for one reason or another, still his attitude towards you is like the father in that parable. He is just waiting for you to come back to his ways, and he's waiting in love. He is never, ever judging. He is never, ever condemning you, because when he placed you in Christ, he saved you from all condemnation. He saved you from all judgment. He saved you from all punishment. Nothing that happens in your life is ever a punishment from God, because he would not be just in fulfilling the sacrifice of his son if ever he was to punish you, when Jesus has already borne your punishment. Always, 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 all the time, no matter what you're going through, God's heart towards you is always that tender-hearted love and compassion. So don't look at yourself, because actually you're quite a boring subject. God is much more exciting than you are. So as Paul said, fix your heart not on earthly things, but on things above. Fix your mind, that we were talking about last night, the renewing of our minds. Fix your minds, not on earthly things, but on heavenly things. Because that's where you belong. What does the scripture say? Our citizenship is in heaven. Not will be when we go to be with the Lord, but our citizenship is in heaven now, tonight. The scripture doesn't say one day we'll be seated in heavenly places, but he sees us seated in heavenly places now. Why? Because our lives are hidden with Christ. And where is he? In heavenly places. With God. And where is he? In heavenly places. Our lives are now hidden with him. Hidden with Christ. In him. What love. What love. How poor is our response of love compared with his great love for each one of us. Shall we draw near to him tonight?
Yes.
Shall we answer his invitation?
Yes.
Come to me. Shall we pour out our hearts in love, in praise, in worship? Not just getting on our knees and faces in silence, but pouring out our hearts. Because I assure you, if you do that, you will come to the point where you will realize that he's pouring out his heart afresh to you. And you will go away from here so much enriched by his love. Shall we all stand and come together? What a God.
Amen.
What a God. What love. Come on, let's come out of our places and get where we can really come before him. So we can kneel if we want to, we can get on our faces if we want to, we can stand, we can do whatever, so long as we're pouring out our hearts to him in love. So off you go. It has to be your personal response to his great love for you. Keep pouring out your heart to him. Silence accomplishes nothing. He'll bring you to the place where you will be silent before him, and he will speak to you. But until he takes you to that place, you keep pouring out your heart to him. Just like the heavenly host, day and night, they never stop praising. Their whole focus is on the one who is seated on the throne. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. When you run out of things to say in English or in your own language, then use your gift of tongues. So that flow of praise, of worship, of thanksgiving is just a continuous stream of love for God. Thank him for that great love that he has for you. That he has saved you, delivered you from all the judgment and punishment that you deserve. That he's just made you the child of his love. That he loves you so dearly, he wants to gather you to himself. Every day, hallelujah, he longs for this. He says, how I have longed to gather your children, O Jerusalem, how I have longed to gather them as a hen gathers her chicks beneath her wings. How I have longed to gather you. God saying, I long for you, child. I long for you, my child. I long for you to be close to me. I long for you to draw near to me. I long for you. I long for you. I yearn for you. It's my heart for you. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Karalal basarabari aletub. Oh, Lord, what love, what love. How can I understand such love? Thank you that nothing can ever separate me from that love. Nothing in the whole of creation can ever separate me from that love. I praise you, Lord. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you, Lord. Nothing in the whole of creation. I can never understand how high and deep and wide and long is your love for me. It is beyond my understanding. It is just so great. It is so wonderful. And I thank you that nothing can ever separate me from that love. I praise your holy name. I bless your holy name. O Paparia Leto Bacalasita di Santo. O pasata pari eletto bacalasita di sandama. 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 O papari eletto bacalasita di sandama. O papari eletto bacalasita di sandama. O papari eletto bacalasita di sandama. O pasata pari eletto bacalasita di sandama. E papari eletto bacalasita di sandari eletto bacalasota di santo. O pasata pari eletto bacalasita di santo balando basinama. O papari eletto bacalasita di santo bacalasandoma. O papari eletto bacalasita di sandoma. O pasata pari eletto bacalasita di sandari eleno masondoma. O papari eletto bacalasita di sandari eleno masota di santo. O pasata pari eletto bacalasita di sandari eleno masondoma. O papari eletto bacalasita di sandoma. Oh, wonderful Lord, wonderful, 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 wonderful Lord. Nothing can separate me from your love. I praise you, I praise you, I praise you. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for that great and that wonderful love. I thank you, Lord, you have poured that love into my heart by your Holy Spirit so that I can love you with that same love with which you love me. And I just praise you and exalt you. I magnify and glorify your holy name. Oh, Lord, I thank you for that tender-heartedness, for that compassion, for that mercy that you have towards me, and I give you all the glory, all the honor. Thank you, Lord, you have saved me from all the judgment and punishment that I deserve. Thank you, Lord, that you have taken away all sin and guilt. Thank you, Lord, that you have just lavished your grace upon me. Thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new to me every day of my life, and I praise you and I bless you, and I give you all the glory, all the honor and the praise. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. Oh, I thank you for the depth, for the wonder of that love. I thank you for the consistency of that love. I thank you, Lord, that never for a moment of time have you ever stopped loving me. And I praise you and I bless you. I thank you that your eyes are upon me all the time. I thank you that you know everything about me, that you care so much for me. You know every detail of my life. I thank you, Lord, that you know my thoughts from afar because you care so much for me. I thank you that you know my words, or even before they're on my lips, because, Lord, you love me, and you love me so dearly and so tenderly that you know what is in my heart. You can discern what is in my heart even before I understand and realize it myself. And I give you all the glory. I give you all the honor. I give you all the praise. I thank you, Lord, that you know my going out and my coming in, my rising up and my lying down, because you love me so much. You are concerned about every detail of my life. Never, ever am I out of your sight. Never, ever am I out of your mind. And I praise you and I bless you and I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that I can never hide from you, that there's no way that I can escape from your presence, because your love for me is so great. Wherever I go, you go with me. Wherever I am, there you are. And I praise you and I bless you. I thank you that my life is now hidden with Christ in God. And I give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Sara batari eletto bakalasito di sanduma. O pasata bari eletto bakalasito di sanduma. O pasata pari eletto bacalasita di sanduma. O papari eletto bacalasita di santo. O pasata pari eletto bacalasita di sanduma. O pasata pari eletto bacalasita di sanduma. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, that that love is going to pour through my life and out of my life as rivers of living water. Thank you, Lord, that that love is going to touch and embrace the lives of other people. Thank you, Lord, that through that love being expressed in my life, so much fruit is going to be produced for your glory, for your honor, for your praise. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, Lord, that the only thing that matters is faith working through love. And I praise you, I praise you, I praise you for that great, that wonderful, that tender-heartedness, that compassion, that love that you have. And I give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. I bless your wonderful name. Pora la basata pari eletto bacalasita di sanduma. O papari eletto bacalasita di sanduma. O papari eletto bacalasita. Keep pouring out your heart to him. Hallelujah. Until he begins to speak to you. Don't lapse into silence until he begins to speak to you. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Jesus. Pura la basatabari a letter bakala sitri sandama. O basatabari a letter bakala sandama. What great love. What great love. What great love. What great love. Oh, what great love. What great love. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Pura la basatabari a letter bakala sitri sandama. O basatabari a letter bakala sitri sandama. O basatabari a letter bakala sitri sandama. O Pazadabari, a letter Bacalasita di Santuma. O Pazadabari, a letter Bacalasita di Santuma. O Pazadabari, a letter Bacalasita. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Pura la Pazadabari, a letter Bacalasita di Santuma. O Papari, a letter Bacalasita di Sandari, a letter Bacalasita di Santuma. O Bazadabari, a letter Bacalasita di Sandama. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Pori a letter Bacalasita di Sandama. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Sora la Bazadabari, a letter Bacalasita di Sandarama. O Papari, a letter Bacalasita di Sandama. O Bazadabari, a letter Bacalasita di Sandama. O Pazadabari, a letter Bacalasita di Santuma. O Pazadabari, a letter Bacalasita Balanduma. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. O Parazadabari, a letter Bacalasita di Santuma. O Papari, a letter Bacalasita di Santuma. O Papari, a letter Bacalasita di Santuma. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In the prophecy of Jeremiah, God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And with loving kindness have I drawn you to myself. Everlasting love, love that will never end, love that will never change. Love that is always the same, always consistent. No matter what you do, His love will never change. His love will never be compromised. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. He's just saying to you now, I have loved you, you personally. With an everlasting love, with loving kindness, I have drawn you to myself. I'm gathering you to myself. I'm drawing you to my throne of grace. And there you won't find judgment. You'll find mercy and grace to help you in your time of need. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that your love is so generous, so abundant, that you lavish your gifts upon us. I just sense that there's some people, this isn't true for all, of course, but there are some that feel they've been like that prodigal son that have drifted away from the Father's best purpose. And tonight He's drawing you back and He's running to meet you and He's embracing you and kissing you. And he's saying, I'm putting on you the best robe, the robe of righteousness, the robe of my love, the robe of my acceptance. I'm putting on your hand a ring. Ring is the sign of ownership. You belong to my family. You belong to me. You belong to the everlasting covenant. That's what a ring signifies, doesn't it? That everlasting covenant of love. That's why rings are given marriage service. But the ring he puts on your finger is the ring of the Lord's ownership of your life, because he loves you. You have not chosen him, but he's chosen you. He took the initiative. He called you. He chose you to be his child, his son, his daughter, his beloved. He's put shoes on your feet so that you can walk in the truth of the gospel. The gospel of peace. Know that you're at peace with him, at peace within yourself, at peace with others. Because that love not only abounds to you, but it abounds through you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's a feast for you. There's a feast for you, saying, come and enter the feast. Come and enter the feast. The fattened calf was the animal that was kept especially for the special occasion. It was a calf so that the meat was nice and tender, the finest. But you see, he didn't actually kill a calf for you. He killed his son for you. And he is the best meat of all. We feed on him. On his body, on his blood. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That in your love, you laid down your life for me. In your love for me, you laid down your life for me. You died for me, Lord. You died for me. You died for each person individually in this room. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. What love. Thank you. You didn't only die for me, but you took me to the cross and you put me to death so that now I can live in your risen life. Now I can live in your love. Thank you that on the cross that love dealt with every negative. And thank you that you poured into my life the gift of your Spirit so that you fill me with every positive. Oh, I bless you, Lord. I praise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If all you've heard from God tonight is him saying to you in a fresh way, I have loved you. It was worth being here tonight. Just to hear that. Not just I love you, but I have loved you. I have lavished all my gifts upon you out of my love for you. And I will never stop loving you because my love is eternal for this life and for all eternity. I have loved you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Heavenly Father. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Abba, Father. The Spirit enables us to cry, Abba, Father. Holy Father, Heavenly Father, Righteous Father, My Father, Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth. In my life. In kingdom faith. In this nation. On the whole of earth. As it is in heaven. Give me today my daily bread. Everything I need. In order to live. In the good of your love. And to express your love for others. Forgive all my sins, especially any time in which I doubt that in the circumstances in which I'm placed, your love will win through. That your love is a victorious love that overcomes everything that opposes that love. And I thank you, Lord. And may I express that love and mercy and forgiveness to others as you express that love, mercy, and forgiveness to me. Lord, lead me not into temptation, ever to drift away from your best love and from living to love you and to serve you and to honor you and to be obedient to your will and purpose in my life. Deliver me, Lord, from all that evil. Deliver every one of us from anything that would seek to undermine our unity of love. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I wonder if someone asked you, perhaps someone who doesn't know the Lord, what does it mean for you to say that you love God? How would you answer that? What does it really mean to love Him? Could you put it in words? Good night. See you tomorrow.